Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, September 8th, and you are listening to the College Football Daily. My name is Trey Scott. I'm joined by Chris Hummer, national college football writer for 24/7 Sports. Chris, we said we were going to spend this lovely Tuesday morning of game week, week two, technically, talking about last night's BYU-Navy game. It wasn't much of a game, though. I turned it off after the third quarter. BYU won 55-3. Was not the result I was expecting. This was a pick 'em or a 1-point spread, according to whichever sports book you prefer. Although, Chris, I do think there are some lessons that can be learned from such a blowout like this, such as Navy coach Ken Niumatalolo admitting that they didn't do any live tackling before the game, and that's probably why they got blown out.
Yeah, I think it's worth reading a quote he had last night that kind of speaks to how weird this time is in college football. Boy, this game was 1,000% my fault. Obviously, we weren't prepared. One team was playing football. There's nobody to blame but myself. I erred on the side of trying to keep our guys safe. I'd say it's the worst Navy football game we ever played. They lost 55-3, so that's hard to argue with them on that one. And it was a shocking blowout. I honestly thought BYU would have a little trouble contending with the triple option on short notice. They only had a couple weeks to prepare for the game. The game kind of got moved around and got replaced at the last minute. And BYU was just simply more physical. They looked more ready to go. They were better on the ball. They had good angles to the football. They tackled well. Navy didn't do any of those things. And the result was a huge blowout. And I think it might be kind of a sign of things to come in college football, at least for the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, you could tell in the first drive, BYU was just leaning on them. It finished with 301 yards rushing, 5 touchdowns, had 2 running backs eclipse the 80-yard mark. Meanwhile, Navy, like, life without Malcolm Perry was really hard. New quarterback Devin Morris went 4-for-8. And Kirk Herbstreit had even hyped him up on the ESPN countdown show saying, hey, they might air the ball out. He looked really bad. The Navy rushing attack got 119 yards. But again, it was the story was that Navy was unprepared from either a playbook standpoint and as well as a physicality standpoint, and that's a tough task against a BYU team or a BYU program, I should say, which is always going to be very well prepared, always going to be physical, always going to want to run the ball down your throat. So BYU is probably not as good as 55-3. Navy's probably not as bad as 55-3, though I would say that it looks like they're going to be rather bad this year. But I want to drill back into the fact that they didn't do any sort of live scrimmaging. Most teams do 3 if your COVID policies or protocols will allow that. I'm sure Tennessee is not going to get 3 in this fall. The Vols had 45 guys out last week or so. Jeremy Pruitt said he'd be surprised if they could get their full amount of practices in. But those scrimmages are really important for a sport that doesn't have preseason and this year really doesn't have any sort of cupcake slate with the exception of a few Big 12 teams and ACC teams this fall. But Chris, do we commend Coach Ken for doing this, or is this is this almost dangerous in its own right?
I mean, he did it for the right reasons, I guess. He tried to keep his team separated as much as possible to prevent the spread of COVID-19. We've seen, especially from the Ivy League the last few years, kind of a push towards tackling less in practice. Dartmouth particularly has kind of made a name for itself by using a lot of kind of moving tackling dummies and kind of practicing in a way where you limit kind of contact and you're still pretty effective in the game. Navy tried to go that route and it didn't at all work. And I think, as you said, there is certainly an argument that it's more dangerous for players to come into a game unprepared. I don't know how many injuries or bangs and bruises Navy came out of this game with, but when you're not practicing tackling like proper angles, well, actually, I'm trying to talk myself in a circle here. I would argue that like in practice, you're still practicing proper tackling technique. You're still practicing proper angles. You're still practicing safe tackling. The problem is you're not having a live body to kind of apply that on. And no matter how fast those tackling dummies are moving and no matter how kind of many reps you take on a player without kind of putting him to the ground, it's a different thing in live action. And kind of trying to do that at full speed without having any kind of practice to get it done is both ineffective, as we saw, and potentially a little dangerous, because you're just like, you're not going to be taking the right angles. You're not going to be tackling with proper technique, no matter how many times you practice it, because that body is going to be moving at you at a much different speed than the tackling dummy is. So it'll be interesting to see if he changes up kind of his formula. I'm sure he will, because that was a pretty embarrassing performance from Navy.
Yeah, it's also interesting how it never, they in four quarters, they never got, you know, acclimated or anything. He said in pregame that they hadn't been tackling. I was like, oh my gosh. Well, maybe after the first quarter, the guys will get used to some live bullets, but that wasn't the case either. You could tell they were trying to toe the line of appeasing a football hungry world and keeping their players safe. I don't think you would see that sort of tactic or even that sort of transparency from any other, you know, at least any Power Five coach out there, right, Chris? Like even Lincoln Riley, and he's been as conservative as anybody with how to treat COVID, isn't going to come out and say like we didn't do any tackling. So that'll be interesting to follow. But go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I don't think anybody else in the Power Five level is doing that to that extent. But you are going to see some. I really think you're going to see some really sloppy games this weekend, and we saw it last weekend. Tackling was really bad because like a lot of these practices on the Power Five level and the Group of Five level has been split. Like they've worked in smaller position groups. Like West Virginia, for example, the first 2 weeks of fall camp essentially was doing half his team in the morning and half his team in the afternoon. So you're not really seeing good on good as much as you have in the past during practice. The level of competition's not as high, and that's going to contribute to sloppy play as well. It's going to be an adjustment period for everybody. And those teams that figured out a way to make it work this offseason and figured out a way to get some good reps in, and there were not a ton of good reps to go around given how limited things were, I mean, we had a pretty big advantage. Like a team like Clemson, who managed to get some spring practices in, is going to be heavily advantaged over some teams that did not, for example.
Absolutely. I was going to say it was a sloppy weekend of football. And it's fine. It was college football. You know, I'm glad to have it back. Saw ball control issues. Tackling was obviously an issue. I think we should brace ourselves for more of that in the next few weeks. I would think by the time like the SEC gets going, the other conferences will be better acclimated. And I think the SEC will probably have had more physical practices. But I think if you have a big talent disparity, that's going to bear itself out in these first few opening games. Like if we saw BYU, they knew what they wanted to do. They wanted to just pound the rock. And I think there's an argument that if you have better talent, if you have a system you believe in, like there's just keep it really vanilla the first few weeks. And like if you're a Big 12 team playing a Group of Five school or an FCS school this week, like if I'm Oklahoma, I'm just trying to see which of these five new running backs can get it done for me. Like I'll get Spencer Rattler some live reps and, you know, I'm going to get him comfortable with his new receivers, but I'm not going to show off anything. Like I'm just going to pound the football. And if I'm Texas on UTEP, which is a 41-point spread, according to William Hill, like I'm going to see if I can make that 70-0. Like I, you know, no reason to get Sam Ehlinger running around. Just again, feed your ball carrier. So I think if you have a massive talent advantage, that's going to get amplified these first few games.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think a massive talent advantage is I think there's two things that are going to be amplified. I think there's going to be the massive talent advantage, as you spoke to. But at times, I think the massive talent advantage can be kind of overrated if you're coming against a team that's experienced and was kind of able to weather the storm that was this offseason and well coached. I think those are going to be the two huge advantage is for the weekend. For example, like I think a team like Duke with David Cutcliffe there, and I believe Duke opens the schedule with Notre Dame. I wouldn't be surprised to see Duke give Notre Dame a little bit more trouble than people expect because Duke is both experienced and well coached. Even though they've been limited this offseason, I think they have a roster kind of set to kind of scale that gap a little bit. Not saying Notre Dame didn't. Notre Dame also had some pauses this offseason, but I think those two kind of sides are both going to be equally advantaged, and teams that are both experienced and talented are going to be majorly advantaged moving forward. So a team like Clemson, as we mentioned before, is going to maybe run over some teams early in the season.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you mentioned that because I was not even thinking ACC versus ACC here. Like when I'm watching the game last night, BYU Navy, and I'm seeing, okay, Navy didn't practice well. They're not prepared. What other teams would fall into the didn't practice well, are unprepared, probably didn't have the infrastructure to weather 20 guys being out, whatever. I'm like, okay, UTEP, Central Missouri. Like these teams are going to get smoked is what I'm saying. Like
that's a
ugly,
great point.
Ugly is going to be really ugly this weekend.
Well, like Missouri.
It's not going to be your run of the mill blowout.
Yeah, Missouri State's had, I think their practice has been paused several times. And that's Bobby Petrino's team now.
Yeah. So absolute slaughter is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I think you're right. Like it could get really ugly for some of these. Well, first of all, I mean, it's like sacrifice games anyway. They're literally playing games for money. But yeah, it could get really ugly. I think the only David is coaches are going to try to cycle in backups more than ever in these kind of early games to get any kind of game experience you can. So you might see the starters pulled out a little earlier than normal. That might prevent these games from kind of blowing up like that. But even the backups at Oklahoma are going to run over the starters at Missouri State. So it could certainly get ugly. You're right.
Absolutely. All right. Well, it's going to be a fun weekend regardless because we've got college football on tap. It will be a fun week on the College Football Daily. Make sure you've subscribed. If you haven't, if you got something we're missing out, leave us a review. If you like what we're doing, leave us a rating. 1 to 5 stars. We prefer you erring on the side of 5. For our producer, Tony Levitt, and for Chris Hummer, I'm Trey Scott. We'll talk to you all Wednesday.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!